Father, we thank you that when we cry out to you, you hear our cries, you comfort us, you answer our prayers, you lift us up. And Father, we want to follow where you lead us, Father. As we come to this special holiday, Father, we remember those that have sacrificed so much. May we never forget the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You know, Memorial Day should be a holiday more than just the day off from work, more than just going out on a picnic, barbecuing, and getting outside. And we kind of look at it as the beginning of summer, and sometimes we forget what we're supposed to be doing on Memorial Day, on this Memorial Sunday. I want us to remember. I want us to make this day and tomorrow a special day to remember. As I was thinking about that, I was reading in the book of Philippians, there's a lesson in there for us about remembering. Paul is writing this to the church at Philippi. Understand that Paul is in a Roman prison. It's dingy. He's suffering. He's probably hurting. You know, I'm sure he knows that his life is not going to be much longer. So Paul does this thing that we need to do. He starts remembering those people that mean so much to him. I want you to listen as I read in the book of Philippians, the first chapter. It reads, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident in this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you, all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere with offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Paul is in this cell. He's hurting. He's writing from this dingy prison wall room, and what does he do? He writes with great affection for those people that meant so much to him. he encourages them. There's a lesson for us here. When our situations are difficult, and as Priscilla talked about in Sunday school, we're all in a tough situation. We all are having struggles. We're all, seems like we're pushing against a brick wall, trying to accomplish some things, and it's just nothing's happening. Stop and remember and start thinking about with affection those things that those people that mean so much to you.
Amen.
It can lift your spirit because you get your eyes off of yourself.
Amen.
And you start looking back at those people that have meant so much to you. Mm-hmm. I saw a cartoon this week. It was a cartoon about, it was a dog chasing a cat. As the dog was right after the cat, all of a sudden the cat turned around and voiced this ferocious bark. Not a meow, but a bark. The dog froze in its steps and turned around and ran and hid in his doghouse. And underneath the caption of this cartoon, it said, "Sometimes it helps to know a second language." We as Christians need to learn the language of gratitude. We as Christians need to understand that we need to be grateful for what we have. It may not come natural for us, and it won't, because it's not something that we can do naturally. It's something we have to learn. It's something we have to practice. It's something we have to do over and over, but we need to learn the language of gratitude.
Amen.
We have to be thankful because we have so much and we appreciate so little. Mm-hmm. We need to be grateful.
Amen.
For what Jesus has done for us, what other people have done for us. It says in verse 5 here.
Amen.
Paul writes, "I thank my God because of your partnership in the gospel." Paul had his partners in the gospel. The partners in the gospel for me over the last 50 years have been my family. It has been you. You have been my partner in this gospel. The ones that come and sit in these pews Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, who appreciate what this ministry is about. My partners in the gospel have been those people who encourage me, who inspire me, who teach me every day that I need to count my blessings. I thank God for you and my partnership with you every day. You are the people who tell me when I mess up. And occasionally when I get it right, you're there to thank me for what I've done. You're the ones that are there when I think back, when I remember the people in my life. It's my family and it's my church family that I remember. Those people that are so important to me. Verse 6, it says, "I thank God because I am confident that who began a good work in you will carry it on into completion. I'm telling you right now, God is not through with this little church in Pleasant Grove. It's not a perfect church because it's not made up of perfect people. We're imperfect people. We're not a perfect church.
That's a matter of opinion.
And as we are getting ready to celebrate almost 60 years, we haven't reached our full potential. There are still things God has for this church and for the people in this church. And I can thank God that there is still something that we can do. This church, listen, it's not dependent upon your pastors. Nobody can say that this is the church of David Whitmore. Can't say this is the church of Larry Zacher. This is not the church of Don Cox. Not the church of Ruth Stevens. This is God's church.
Amen.
God is the one that is still on the throne. God is the one that's still able. He's the one that's still leading. All we have to do is follow.
Amen.
As Paul was thankful for the fact that God still has a work for his people at Philippi, I can thank God that God still has some work for me to do, and that God has some work for you to do, and as a church body, God still has something more for us to do.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
God, as long as we're here, as long as we're breathing, we need to understand that God has something for us to do. Verse 9 there, it says, "This is my prayer, that love may abound." Love is what a church should be about. Love is what Christians should be about. Our love for God and our love for others. Listen, when you tell somebody you love them, you are speaking on God's behalf. Love can change a person's life. I remember when I first met Larry and Linda. They were at our house and I was asking Larry, "How did y'all meet?" You know, and he was kind of telling me the story about this, and he said that Linda, I don't remember if it was in a Bible study, a Sunday school, or whatever, but they were in something together, and Larry and Linda started doing things together. Every once in a while, she'd take him to the grocery store and take him places he needed to go. Larry told me it wasn't long. I was in love with Linda. But I didn't know how she felt about me. And he said, that one day, Linda was talking to him. She said, "Larry, I think I'm in love with you."
Amen.
He said his heart, you know, almost jumped out of his chair. Those were the words he wanted to hear.
Amen.
See, when you tell somebody you love them, you can change their life. You can make such a difference in people when you tell them that you love them and you really mean it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I haven't read this book, but I read about this book. It's called, Life is a Gift. That's what it's called. In this book, it's a story of an interview of 104 people that are on hospice. Now, this wasn't a religious book. wasn't about all these 104 people. I don't know how many were Christians, how many weren't. But there was one thing that all these people had in common when they asked them this. They say one of the most important things you can do in life is you go home and you hug those people that are close to you. You tell them that you love them. You don't wait. You do it now because you don't know when you might get that chance again. We express love by the words we say. We express love by the actions that we take. Love, true love, can make a difference in people's lives. When you love a child, they know it. When you really care about somebody and they love you and you love them back, they should know it. It should be expressed, and it should not just be in words, but in actions. Paul writes in verse 10, "This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. This is my prayer, that your discernment will be pure, so that you'll be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ." Listen, there is a will of God for you in your life. You can know what the will of God is for your life. It's not, God's not keeping that secret from you. Your desire, you should have this desire to please God. When you have this desire to please God, it pleases God. That's what He wants from you. Then we can plug into the power of the Holy Spirit. God has a will for you in your life. You have to be able to discern that. That comes from praying and reading the Scriptures. You need to understand that God has a will for you. In verse 11 it says, "This is my prayer, that your fruit will be plentiful, and I pray that you'll be filled with the fruits of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ." Jesus said in John the 15th chapter, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will even be more fruit." Our lives should bear fruit. The fruits that we should be bearing are the fruits that are the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the things that should be coming out of our life. Are those the fruits that you have? Or are you angry and bitter and unforgiving and unkind to people? Those aren't the fruits that God has for you. Those aren't the fruits that you should be bearing. We should be bearing the fruits of the Spirit. So many times, we are just brainwashed by productivity. Even in churches, so many churches nowadays are so little about fruitfulness. They're a business. The results of productivity or big churches with big budgets, with big staff, and big egos. Not all big churches are this way. That's sometimes true of little churches as well. When we start worrying about productivity, we think about goals to establish, strategies to meet these goals, and evaluations have to be made. And when we're so engrossed with the business of the church, there's little time for fruitfulness. To be fruitful, we need to plant a seed. We need to tend the soil, and every once in a while, a little bit of wash, and then we have to wait. It often takes more than one lifetime for fruit to come out. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians this, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow." We can't save people. Only God can do that. But we can plant the seed. We can tend the soil. We can add water. We can do our part. That's our responsibility to do that. But then we got to turn it over to God and let Him make things grow, because only He can do that.
Amen.
My prayer for you and for this church is that we will always bear much fruit that is to the glory of God and to the good of other people.
Amen.
And this Memorial Day, when we look back to remember, don't just look at this day as just any other holiday where it doesn't mean anything. It means something. We need to remember and be thankful. Be grateful, no matter what our circumstances are. We need to be grateful for what we have and quit worrying about what we don't have.
Amen.
It's important that we count our blessings. It's a hard thing to do sometimes when our situations are so tough. It's hard for us sometimes to think about that, but be like Paul. Think back on all those people that have changed your life. Be thankful for those. Be thankful for the people who have been in your life. Many of the people in your life that really changed you may have gone on to heaven. They're not here anymore, but they're still with you. They're still in your heart. They still made a difference in your life. And you can think about those kind of people and remember back what they meant to you, the good memories. But you know what? There's people in your life today that you can think back and think, what a difference these people have made in their lives. And we need to understand that we need to be people that make a difference in other people's lives. We need to be people that look to us.
Amen.
And we can guide and direct them in some paths that they need to go on. We need to be an inspiration to other people. Other people have inspired us, have encouraged us. Shouldn't we be inspiring people and encouraging other people? Shouldn't that be something we ought to be able to do? We need to remember that God is not finished with us yet. No matter what you've done, No matter how many mistakes you made, God is not through with you. God started a good work in you once you became a Christian. Once you invited Jesus Christ into your life, He began a good work in you. But He's not through with you yet. There's still something for you to do. And He's going to bless you if you'll just follow where He leads you to go. Love is the key to being what God wants you to be. It's the most important thing God says for you to do. Love people. Care about people. You put God first and then you put other people second. Tell people that you love that you love. Sometimes that's hard for some of us to do. But it's an important part of who we should be. We should be telling people that we love them and care about them. Not only just telling them, showing them by the things we do. It's easy to say I love you for some people. Some people can just say that and it's just words. But actions speak louder than
Amen.
Not only do you tell people you love them, but you show them. You be fruitful. You produce the fruit that God wants you to produce. You have joy and peace and self-control. All these things that are the fruits of the Spirit, that should be exhibited in your life. When people see you, they should see that in you. Not anger and bitterness and all the other things that the world has. Those aren't the fruits that God is looking for. Those are the fruits, those are the branches that God cuts off. He prunes the ones that are producing the fruit, the good fruit. And it's important for you today that we be people who produce the right fruit. Remember our responsibilities. Remember what is important for us to do. To plant that seed. To nourish that seed. But turning it over to God and let God make that seed grow. It's important that you trust God. Priscilla talked about in Sunday school. We need to trust God. No matter what your situation is, trust God.
Amen.
It's not an easy thing to do because we look at our circumstances. And like she said, sometimes we just give up. We get so down, we just give up. Don't do that. God has a work for you. As we remember on this special holiday, think back, regardless of your situation, think back on those people that did so much for you. Think about what God has done for you.
Amen.
And you can change your situation. That's right. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we look back at the lessons that we learned from Paul here about. No matter what our situation is, we can be appreciative. We can look back on the people in our lives, those that have made such a difference in our lives. Those people that encouraged us, appreciated us and lifted us up. Father, we can get ourselves out of that bad situation by remembering, thinking about the good things. Father, may we have an attitude of gratitude. That we think back on all the good things we have. Father, quit worrying about what we don't have, knowing that we can turn our our requests over to you, Father, and you're going to answer our prayers and bless us. Father, I pray for the people here today. These are my partners in the gospel, Father. These are the people that mean so much to me. These are the people that when I get to heaven, Father, and I'm standing before you, I'm going to say, thank you so much for letting these people be in my life. They changed my life. They made me better because of how much they loved me and cared about me and how much you loved and cared about me to put these people in my life. Father, thank you for this church and the fact that we're fixing to celebrate 59 years as a church, but Father, you still got something for us to do. There's still work for us to do. And Father, we want you to understand this is not our church, it's your church. We're just a part of it, but we're here to worship you and you only, Father. Father, bless these people today. Father, as we remember those people who have died, gone before us and have sacrificed so much for us. We could never express our gratitude enough, but we can have that gratitude in our hearts. Not just on Memorial Day, Father, but every day as we live in a country where we're free to worship and do so much, where we're so lucky to be here, Father. May we understand that, appreciate that, and make things better. In Jesus' name, I pray. If you're here today and you'd like for us to pray with you, we'll be happy to pray for you. Whatever.